Well, you know, I am glad that God is not an absent God. You know, God is not a God that's never around. You know, you can't find him when you need him. You know, he's not interested. Kind of like the thing up there with the husband and the wife. The wife was trying and the husband wasn't interested. I'm glad God is not like that. God is always interested. God wants to be involved in our life. Really, God wants to be really, really involved in our life, in all of our life. I say this all the time. We're not meant really to compartmentalize our life. There's not spiritual life and other life. There's not come to church life and live one way and go home and do something else. We're called to live as a Christian with God everywhere at all moments. And so God wants to be really involved in our life. He wants to be involved in the decisions. He wants to be involved in the big things. He wants to be involved in the little things. I've actually learned if we can learn to follow him, yield to him, surrender to him in the small things, then when the big things come, it's a little bit easier for us. But God does want to be involved in our life. He wants to, as I say sometimes, do life with us. You know, you hear it said, I'll say I enjoy doing life with my husband. I'm thankful for my husband. I enjoy doing life with him. Or you enjoy doing life with friends and things. Well, God wants to do life with us. Hallelujah. And one aspect that I absolutely love about God is that God speaks to us. That's one thing I learned when I got in the Spirit-filled life. Because, you know, in my earlier days saved, I thought, you know, I would just talk and throw things up to heaven. And I knew that God would technically speak through his word. But I didn't really know that no, God could really speak. I mean, that we can hear the voice of God for our own lives and situations and things in our life. And I love that about God, that he is a God that speaks to us. And he speaks to us for many reasons. He speaks corporately sometimes to unify us. He speaks to bless us. God speaks to encourage us. He speaks to help us. He speaks to challenge us. He speaks to remind us. He speaks to instruct us. God speaks to direct us. He even at times speaks to warn us. And at times he speaks to correct us because he's a loving God and his correction is good. That's why when I say he corrects us, I have a smile on my face. He's not a mean God. He's not a mean father like going to beat you down, tell you how bad you are. No, he's going to tell you how good you are and how much of Christ you have in you that can enable us to live uprightly before him. Hallelujah. He's speaking to us at times about things past. He speaks to us at times about things that are to come, things that we don't know yet. God speaking to us is constant. And I love that. Certainly, I love that he speaks. We can hear him at any time, at anywhere. But I also, for me, just seeking a time to specifically hear from him, to let him speak to me about the upcoming year, some things that God might want to say, and to us corporately about some things that God might want to say to help us. I always look to do that. I always lean my heart toward that, particularly toward the end of the year. Sometimes God will get an early start. Sometimes I'll hear things in September or October when I'm not really looking yet to the new year, but I know that it's kind of far the new year. But I do, I sit myself down and I seek the face of the Lord, the voice of God, to know some things about the upcoming year so that we can know what God wants us to know. Because he does want to be involved in our life, he does want us to know some things. Hallelujah. We don't have to wander around in life wondering what is going on and what should, really we can know God. We can know the will of God. We can know the plan of God. We can know specific things if we will take the time to seek him and if we will take the time to really tune our ear and then expect to hear from him. You know, one thing we did in corporate, we had corporate prayer last Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. We had an awesome time in prayer. I mean, we met with God. Hallelujah. Every night was different. We prayed for different things, but God was present. And one of the things I always tell people when you pray, especially if you're in a place where you're seeking the will of God or wanting to hear something from God, you need to get out a pen and a paper, or you need to get out your device. If you're electronically driven, you can get out your device. But that represents you're expecting to hear something. Because what you don't want to do is hear something from God and not make note of it. Because even no matter what it is, no matter how profound it may be, and sometimes it may not seem profound, but it might be crucial to your life. But we want to get those things written down like the prophet says, Habakkuk. He said that we're to write it down so that then we can read it and say it and run with it, right? So that's another thing about hearing the voice of God is making sure that we value what God says. If God is saying something to you and you go, oh, that's nice, or that's good, and you're happy about it for about 15 minutes, or maybe you remember it the next day, and then you don't look at it ever again or know anything else about it, you know what that is to God? That's like, well, they don't really value what I say, so I just won't say anything. And so we need to value what God is speaking to us so that we can know what God wants us to know, not what we want to know. That's another thing. Sometimes we go to God and we're like, I want to know this and this and this and this and this. And it's okay sometimes, but sometimes you need to say, God, what do you want me to know? God, what do you need me to know? That's a better way to get started sometimes, but so that we can know what God wants us to know, and then we can do our part in it. Because remember, this life with God is about relationship. It's not just about God being God and us being God and there being no intersection. No, it's about our life with God. We are the extension of God in the earth for the will of God and the plan of God to come to pass for God's kingdom as well as for our life. There's a part we have to play in it. And our part is to believe, to know what God said and believe it, to have faith in it. Our part is to hear it and to do it, not just hear it. Not just be a hearer only, but to hear it and do it. To that whatever we hear, whatever God says, that we apply it and that we live it. Hallelujah. And so I'm always taking an account. I have all the things that God has said every year for the church, and I'm always taking an account because I don't want to miss out. I don't want to get to the end and feel like I've not done my part in doing what God wanted done. And so today we're gonna talk a little bit about something. It's gonna seem very simple. Today's message is gonna seem very simple, but it's straight from the heart of God. Hallelujah. It's straight from the mouth of God. And I really think that if we can hear it and if we can do it, we will find that at the end of the year or, you know, several months from now, when we've kind of got this under our belt, so to speak, I think we're gonna see that some things about our life have really changed. And I'm talking about changing for the better. Hallelujah. So before I give you that word, it's just a word. It's just a one word that I got this year. And of course, kind of how it applies. But before I give you that one word, I want to remind you of some things that Pastor Chas said last week. Because normally, you know, I preach on the first Sunday of the month of the year. And that's because I usually am the one that gets a word from the Lord and wants to. But last week, Pastor Chas, you know, felt like he had something in his heart. And I'm like, hey, have you got something in your heart? I already knew what the word of the Lord was from me toward the church, but he didn't know. We don't tell each other. It's kind of like we like to see how it works out. And I already knew, but he said he had something in his heart. And I said, that's fine. You go ahead. I'll do mine the next week. Praise the Lord. But everything that he was talking about on Sunday and about us reaching forward and several things. And on Wednesday, wow, Wednesday was a wow. Just a great, great, message. All of it really pertains to this word that God has given me for this year. And so before I give you that word, I want to talk about three quick points that Pastor Chas mentioned in his sermon last Sunday, because when he said them, of course, me knowing what the word of the Lord was, I wrote them down and I starred them because they pertain to this word that the Lord has given us for 2023, okay? And so the first thing, one of the things that Pastor Chas said last week, and he was saying these things in regard to us moving forward, okay? Not looking back, not staying stuck, but us moving forward. He said, number one was that we need to be found in Christ alone. Found in Christ alone. Not found in other identities, not found in other statuses, not found in other definitions of people or anything like that. To be found in Christ alone. Okay? And we know that the scripture in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, it's one of my most favorite scriptures. It says this, for in him We live and we move and we have our being. In him, come on, if you want to live, how many of you want to live? And I'm not talking about just living in the earth, you know, like physically I'm here and I'm alive. I'm talking about if you want to live, come on, if you want to have a life that's worth living, a life that's worth talking about, come on, a life that when you get into heaven, heaven's like, wow, you really did live. You're going to have to do it in him. Not in yourself, not in other people, not in other pursuits. All of that has to fall under being found in Christ alone. For in him we live and we move. We don't move. We don't do anything. We don't purpose anything. We don't head a direction without knowing absolutely for sure that it is God, that God is in it. I remember Moses made the statement. He said, Lord, I don't want to go anywhere that you're not. You know, in other words, he didn't want to go somewhere outside the grace of God or outside the will of God or the plan of God. Come on. Come on, because listen. We got our own desires to deal with. We got our own soul. We got our own stuff that's going on in here. But we got to be found in him, because it's in him that we live and we move and we have our being. Just basically getting up every day and finding yourself in God. That alone is going to satisfy you in life. And then you're not looking for something else. You're not looking for something else to give you value. You're not looking for something else to make you feel important. You're not looking for something else to give you purpose. Oh, it's found right here, just right here, because my whole being is just in God alone. Hallelujah. That right there can just change your life. Number two, what Pastor Chaz said last week was that we have everything. Look at your neighbor and say everything. We have everything that Christ is. And that Christ has. He didn't say we're going to get. He didn't say we're going to get something. He said we already have it. Spiritually speaking, positionally speaking, we already have everything that Christ is and everything that Christ has. We already have it. Everything. We're lacking nothing in Christ. Come on, this makes us not beggars anymore. Come on, we're not beggars anymore. Come on, we've been transitioned over to a place of a son of God. Come on, we stand with the authority of God, the power of God. We have everything that Christ is and Christ has. Turn with me in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. I want to give a couple of scriptures about this. I don't think Pastor Chaz, I don't know, maybe he did give some scriptures that weren't these particularly, but these are what came in my heart in helping us get a running start toward the word that the Lord has for us that's all wrapped up in these things. 1 John 4, 17, the last part of this. Because what this basically says is, as he is, so are we in this world. Okay, listen. Because of people say, well, I know I'm like Christ, and I know one day, and I know no. No, the Bible says right now in this world, as he is the victor, as he is the triumphant one, as he is the one who rules and reigns over darkness, come on, so are we. So are we in the earth. We are the ambassadors of Christ. We are the ones that represent him and who he is and what he has. So we are now. Come on. This is an attitude. This is a kick the devil in the face attitude. No. As Christ is full of power, full of glory, so am I now in the earth. Through him. Not aside from him, not apart from him, but in him, through him, we are as Christ is. Hallelujah. And then Romans 8, 16 and 17 says this, basically tells us that we have the same inheritance. So everything that Jesus got from God, which was everything, We have the same inheritance, it says. Romans 8, verse 16 says that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and join heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. That's us right now. Right now, we're joint heirs with Christ. Of everything that Christ has, we have it. Hallelujah. So that's the second one, that we have everything that Christ is and Christ has. And that's really life-changing. If we could get that concept down, solidified, sure in our heart, what we would find is that we're not looking to get something from God. We're looking to get a revelation of what we already have. When you need to be healed, it's not that you're trying to get healing from God. You've already got healing. It already says that by His stripes you were healed. We've already got healing. What we need is the revelation and the dawning of that in our heart as a real truth. And the minute we get it, I mean, the minute our face sees it, the minute we touch it with real heart, faith, belief, it happens. Hallelujah. So we have, number one, to be found in Christ alone. Number two, we have everything that Christ is and Christ has. And then the third thing that Pastor Chaz said last week that ties into my word is that we are to know that whatever, whenever, and wherever, He, the Lord, is already there. He, the Lord, is already there. Come on. He's already prepared for it. Nothing catches Him off guard. He's not like, oh my, I'm not sure this was going to happen. Oh, what do we do here? Or He's not like, wait, to trying to prepare. God is already there. He's already seen it. He's already made provision for it. He already knows how to get you through it. He's already there. He's there with you. When He said He would be with us and never leave us and never forsake us, He means He will be there whenever, wherever, whatever. Right now and everything in the future, He is already there. And I don't know about y'all, but that makes me like super, super, super stoked. I mean, I get super fired up about that when I think that God is already there. He's already in my future. I mean, He's already there showing up for me. You know, in the Old Testament, there are names of God that represent the nature of God or who God is. And in Ezekiel 48, verse 35, it says He is Jehovah, and that means the Lord. That makes Jehovah talks about relationship. It says Jehovah calls the Lord Jehovah Shema. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. That's part of His nature. He's already there. It also translates to He is present. So no matter what, I'm going to say it again, no matter whatever, whenever, or wherever, the Lord, our God, He is already there. So we don't have to be begging for Him, looking for Him, Lord, 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 where are you? Where are you? He's right there. He's always with us, never leaving us, never forsaking us. He's always right there with us. Hallelujah. Those are some pretty three good words, right? I'm going to repeat them again for you. The first one was that we're to be found in Christ alone. The second one, we do already have everything that Christ is and that Christ has. And we are to know that whatever, whenever, and wherever, He, the Lord, is already there. And those things tie into the word of the Lord for us in 2023, which is enjoy. Enjoy. God wants us to enjoy. He wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to enjoy what we have. He wants us to enjoy Him. He wants us to enjoy it. Come on, we need to lighten up. We need to learn a little bit about just enjoying this life that we have with God, in God, and through God, this amazing God who gives us an amazing life, not just destined for heaven later, but an amazing life right now in the earth, and we are to enjoy it. Come on, there's a challenge to us this year to enjoy it. Last year was all about more, more, more. And listen, I'll talk about that in a minute, that the word, this is not really a do-nothing word, but let me define what enjoy means. It means to take delight, satisfaction, or pleasure in an activity or an occasion. We could just say to take delight, satisfaction, and pleasure in every day of living. And it also means to possess or to benefit from. We're supposed to be benefiting from this life that we have in God. And sometimes, listen, we've walked with God for so long that we just kind of begin to take things for granted. And sometimes our flesh and our nature causes us to look at what I don't have, what's not right. Well, oh, you need to remember that your life has changed. You're not walking like other people. It means to have a pleasant time. It means to experience with joy. It means to have for one's use or benefit, to experience and have and use with satisfaction. And listen, this word enjoy is much wider than just talking about. It's not just talking about having fun, although Christians can have fun. Come on, there are some things of our life, and at times we need to be able to have fun. Just lighten up and have some fun. But it's bigger than just having fun. It's bigger than just the feeling of being happy in the form of an emotion. It lies deep down to enjoy God, to enjoy life. Come on, it's way down deep in here. I'm just gonna enjoy, it ties to being content. It ties to taking pleasure. It ties to delighting in and being satisfied. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord is saying to us, enjoy. Now enjoy life, not from a worldly viewpoint. Because listen, the world is, you know, they'll say things, hey, you only got one life to live. You know, make it count. You know, go out and if you're not having fun, you must not be doing it right. You know, they'll make little statements like that. But the problem with the world's view is it's focused on themselves. They're trying to do something for themselves from an outside something so that they can say, I'm enjoying life or I'm having a good time. But the biblical view incorporates and focuses on God. Because we're found in Him alone. Because in Him we have everything. Hallelujah. And so it focuses on God. It's all about Him. It's about putting God first, committing everything to Him, including Him in everything, and Him becoming our source of everything, which then He becomes our source of enjoyment. We're not waiting on an outside something. I'm enjoying life because I'm doing it with God. Oh, praise the Lord. Enjoy is not a do-nothing word. Now, you know, sometimes I told you the words of the Lord. Sometimes they come and they have an instruction. They have an intent. Last year it was more. We were reaching for more. Really what we're reaching for more is revelation, more revelation of everything that we had so that we could see the more of God in our life. Hallelujah. But this word, enjoy, it's not a do-nothing word. It's not a just sit back and do nothing. This is an active word. This is a living by faith word. Because enjoy is actually part of our faith life. It's learning to live effectively, pleasing the Lord in the earth while enjoying life. Did you know that if we're not enjoying life, then we're not really pleasing God? Part of our faith life is to learn no matter when, where, because the Lord's already there and the Lord is, He's my Lord and He's with me. So I'm just gonna go ahead and decide just to enjoy it. So this is about learning to enjoy even while we're living with God and going onward and upward. We need to learn how to find joy, how to take enjoyment in things like progressing. Instead of like, I gotta progress, and it become like a stress, something you're striving for, just learn to enjoy God, that God will help you progress, that God will help you grow. Learn to enjoy the possibilities. Learn to enjoy the increase. Learn to enjoy the opportunities. Let's see the opportunities that are in front of you rather than looking around and seeing what you don't have. Come on, God will open every door. Come on, God will give you every opportunity. If you're willing to use your faith and go through it, then God will do it if it's part of His plan. But we need to find enjoyment in producing in life, being valuable, giving something everywhere we go. We need to find how to enjoy the potential that there is. That these things do keep us moving forward and they keep us reaching unto God. But we're doing it from a place of joy. We have to learn to focus on every good thing and not lose sight of what we do have. We have salvation. We've been saved. We've been redeemed, taken out of darkness into the light of the Lord. Come on, our sins have been forgiven. We don't have to be guilty or shameful or hold our head down in life. We have eternal life now and forever. We have a covenant with God. We have an agreement with God that God cannot, listen, God cannot get out of his agreement. He can't decide at any time that you're not a good partner or that he's unhappy with you. You've been at it too long. He is in an agreement with you. We have his kingdom. We have his word, which is truth, which has power in it. We have his spirit. We have spiritual blessings. We have gifts. We have tools of the kingdom. We have weaponry. Come on, because we're called as soldiers and we're armed up, man, to the hill. I remember one of the prayer meetings this week, we got into a thing of the spirit and I saw weapons being sharpened. Hallelujah. And that should be able to make us enjoy our marriage. That should make us be able to enjoy work. We were not built for retirement and to go flittering and fluttering around just doing whatever you want and having. That's not how we were built. Everybody pick your toes up. I'm going to step on your toes now. Come on, we're going to talk about enjoy. Listen, God wants to be involved in every aspect of your life and we got to get this stuff worked out and straight. Because if we can't find out how to enjoy our marriage, if we can't find out how to enjoy work, if we can't find out how to enjoy ministry or serving, if we can't figure out how to enjoy parenting, if we can't figure out how to enjoy church life or our home life or school or being single or wherever we are, we will miss out. On this wonderful life that we have with God. So first, we have to realize that God does want us to enjoy life. He really does want to. He sent Jesus for that purpose, that we could enjoy life. Isn't that what John 10:10 says? He says that I have come, Jesus, that they might have life and they may have it more abundantly. So he came so that we could have the good life, so that we could enjoy life. I love the Psalm 65:11. You see it all the time when it's New Year, but I love it because it says, you, God, crown the year with your goodness and your past drip with abundance. Every year we should be expecting a good year, a year of abundance, a year of enjoyment with God because he never changes. Well, since God sent Jesus so that we could have a good life and enjoy life, then we see that enjoyment or enjoying life really only comes from having a relationship with God. And that's why the world is like, you know, they never get it. They're just never going to obtain what really they're looking for because they're looking for it outside of God. So he does want us to enjoy life. He does want us to enjoy doing life with him and through him. And then what happens is he takes enjoying to a whole new level. When you learn that you're not tied to natural earth life and circumstances and people and things working out and all that, you're not tied to that's not your source of enjoyment. But you start finding that you're living life now on a whole new level. I'm expecting us, come on, to go up some levels this year and how we're experiencing this life in the earth. I say this all the time, when the Lord brings a word, he brings with it a grace, or he brings with it a power. He brings with it an extra ability of God to be able to capture that and to receive it and live it and experience it. So the Lord says this, he says, there is much to enjoy. My goodness is all around. He says, take time to reflect on and rejoice in the pleasures of life in my kingdom and purpose to and live in the fullness of enjoyment that comes from me. Hallelujah. This is where, again, we've got some part in it. We have to believe it. We have to want it. We have to receive it. We're going to have to, many times, many days, many situations, we're going to have to get our soul out of the way. We're going to have to get our emotions out of the way. Come on, we're going to have to yield to God and find the enjoyment right where we're at, right in the middle of it. You know, I have to say this, I have found this, that no matter who you are, no matter how much God loves you, no matter how tightly we walk with the Lord, the Bible says that sometimes, just sometimes, you know, there's going to be some stuff. There's going to be some stuff that comes along. There's going to be some troubles. There's going to be some trials. We're in a fallen world. Not everybody around us is walking perfectly with the Lord. We ourselves even at times can miss it. But I have just found that no matter what, even in that, there is a way to find joy. There is a way to enjoy just the fact that God is with me. Even though I'm going through it, I'm not without God. And if I'll just keep looking to God and staying with God, God will lead me out and I'll be all the better. And in the midst of it, it'll just be a whole lot better for me. If I can learn to find just something of God in it. You know, Jesus came to give us life and the abundant life. The devil came to snatch that away. And so his goal is to just drag you down into the muck, into the mire, into the mud. With life, and he uses life to try to do it. And Pastor Chad says this all the time. Once he finds out that you're not buying into it, like, let's say that something happens that you don't really like. Maybe it's something, you know, your car breaks down. Okay, well, nobody likes that a car breaks down. You know, it's time, it's effort, it's money. Y'all remember Pastor Chaz before he was in the kingdom and spirit field? He said he used to dread that something would go wrong with his car because he wasn't going to have the money to fix it. So, you know, something really bad happens like that. And the minute that you get out of sorts, the minute that you're like down and out and you're stressed out or you're mad or you're fussing or you're complaining or whatever, then the devil just realizes, ha, 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 push the button. I know where the button is. And so the next month, something else, that same button. When the devil realizes that when that happens, you're like, you know what? Well, okay, it's all right. I don't have to praise God for it, but I can praise God in the midst of it. And I can thank God that, oh yeah, I have everything that Christ has. Oh yeah, so I do have enough provision. I have enough time. God's going to work it out. Praise the Lord. Life is just good for me. Once you do that, First of all, the devil gets so mad. And I love to just make the devil mad. Ha, 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 devil, you didn't win. You thought you were going to do something and cause me to get out of sorts. Ha, ha, ha. I'm just going to praise God more. I'm just going to love God more. So first of all, the devil gets mad. But second, once he realizes, well, I pushed that button and it didn't work. Guess what happens? He's not as quickly to push that button. He realizes that's not an effective button. And so sometimes even he just goes on down the road. He goes on down the road somewhere where he can get somebody's buttons and start pushing some buttons. Hallelujah. I wanted you to know, if you'll just learn to enjoy life with God, come on, your buttons, you'll find you don't even have any buttons anymore. What buttons? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to enjoy life. You know, there's a scripture that says they were known because their faith went out. And Pastor Chaz is always saying, we want to be known, you know, as a place where our faith goes out. Where when people think of us, those are people, man, that they're living by faith. They're knowing God. They're believing God. They're trusting God. Absolutely. But we also want to be a people who enjoy this faith life. Oh, you know what? I got to live by faith. I got to go try to trust God and believe God. No, this is a privilege to be able to live by faith. Let's enjoy this life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't turn here with me, but I'm just going to read a couple of these. Maybe just a couple of them. Ecclesiastes 5, 18 through 20 says, here's what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy all the good of all of his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for this is his inheritance. And for as to every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, we all have riches and wealth, and it's not just tied to your bank account. Jesus was made poor that we might become rich. Hallelujah. So God has given riches and wealth and given to him the power to eat of it, to receive his inheritance and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. Come on. The gift of God is that we get to enjoy life. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24 and 25. Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that his soul should enjoy the good of his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. Then it goes on to say, who can have more enjoyment than I? For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. Guess who is good in his sight? Guess who is good in his sight? I'm good in his sight. You're good in his sight. If you have Jesus, he sees you through Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Enjoy. It comes from two words, one being joy, which we all know what that means. The other is in, E-N, which means within. So we're to be doing this life within joy. Everything about this life should be parameted by joy. And then we know what Nehemiah 8:10 says, right? That the joy of the Lord is our strength. Come on, come on. If we can learn to enjoy life, come on, bring some enjoyment into this earth life that we're doing with God, we'll find ourselves living stronger. We'll find ourselves that when things do come, we're not as quick to be moved by them or have to, no, because I've learned to enjoy life. Oh, yeah, I remember God is already there. God is already there. God already knew this. God's already made provision. God always said he'd cause me to triumph. Come on. He'd lead me into victory every single time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We will rejoice and just have some enjoyment in today. This is the day. Today, every day we wake up, this is the day. God made it. Listen. He made it for me. He made it for you. Remember, he's not an absent God. He's a right there God. As a matter of fact, Psalm 139 already says, he already fashioned all the days of your life in his book while you were yet in your mama's womb. Hallelujah. We just need to, this is a decision. This is a decision scripture. We need to have this scripture in us so much that no matter what happens, this is the day the Lord has made. And I'm just going to rejoice and be glad in it. In what? In the day. In that today I have a life with God. Look higher. Look above the circumstances, the stuff of the earth. Psalm 116 verses 8 and 9. And then verse 11 says this. It says, I have set the Lord always before me. Amen. Remember, God wants to be involved. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. Why? Because I'm just there with God. Not because things are good and because wonderful things are happening and everything's perfect. There's no promise in the Bible that everything on earth will be perfect. Our faith is not in something being perfect. And if something's not perfect, it doesn't mean necessarily that we've missed it in faith. Not necessarily. It just means, okay, I recognize this is kind of out. So now I look for what the promise of God is. I just enjoy that God has already made me a promise, and I'll go from there. So it says, therefore, my heart is glad because I've set it upon him and my glory rejoices, and my flesh also will rest in hope. In verse 11, then you, the Lord, will show me the path of life. And in your presence, there's fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Listen, if we will set ourselves just to enjoy life, then God will show up with the path of life. Come on, with the fullness of joy. Come on, with some pleasures that come from God. There's nothing that compares to having a pleasure that is from God. Because all the earthly pleasures, they're temporary. They come, they go. They're here now, they're not here later. There's no eternal value. But when we find pleasure, and when God is able to give us pleasure through Him, through His Word, through His Spirit, through His kingdom, through His promises, that just became an eternal part of me. It abides forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm trying to show you that there are some benefits. There are some benefits that the more we can learn to just enjoy life, enjoy life with God and in God and through God, that we'll find that life will be better. Look at Isaiah 58. This is a good one. Verses 13 and 14. Now, this is Old Testament, so you kind of have to take it a little bit and understand what we're saying, of course, because we know that we're not keeping the Sabbath and those kind of things. But just listen to what this says. It says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and you shall honor him, not doing your own ways and not finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. So first of all, let me tell you what this is really saying. This is saying if you're going to try to go about life doing your own thing, finding your own pleasure, speaking your own words, you are going to have difficulty being able to delight in the Lord. It means you have to turn your life toward God. And if you will turn your life toward God, to the commands of God, the principles of God, everything that is God, God's will in your life, God's desires, God's instructions, if you will do that, if you will honor Him, if you will choose His way, if you will do things to please Him, and you will speak His words, then you will delight yourself in the Lord. Then you will be found delighting in the Lord. Remember being satisfied, being content. Oh, this is a glorious place to live. And then, look at this. Then I, the Lord, will cause you to ride on the high hills. When we find ourselves delighting in God, come on, when we can enjoy Him, when we can be content, when we can be at peace, satisfied with the Lord, then He's going to cause us. To live in the high places. Not you're going to have to work your way into it and stress and strive to try to get somewhere. No. Because you're delighting in the Lord, because you're enjoying life with God, God's going to cause you to ride on the high hills, to ride in the high places. Come on. Oh, it's so much better being up the high. That removes us from the stuff of the earth. It puts us in a place close to God. Hallelujah. There are good things that come from us learning to enjoy God, take delight in Him and in this life with Him. The Lord said this to me. He said, now there is a promise to us attached to this word enjoy. There's a promise. This is a promise from the Lord. The Lord says that as we learn to live, as we learn to enjoy and live in enjoyment, two things this year will be attached. One, we will sense His presence. And you might say, well, I sense His presence. Listen. If you haven't recognized by now that you have never, ever, ever gotten to the end of all that is God, if you sense His presence, and you should, I'm glad you do, but you, God says, if you can learn to live in His enjoyment and just enjoy life, that you're going to sense His presence more. And the other thing he said is that we're going to experience his favor. Oh yeah, this is going to be a favorable year. It's going to be a favorable year for those who can learn just to enjoy God. You know, his presence. Well, what's found in his presence? His presence is everything. His presence is everything. I love, Brother Hagin used to tell a story. Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, who was a spiritual father to many of us, who lived so effectively with the Lord for, you know, 60 some odd years in the earth. Now he's in heaven. But he made this statement. I've always remembered this. He said that anytime he had something, he needed an answer from God. He needed something. And he felt that he needed to ask people to help him pray. He said, I always looked for one lady. Just one lady. And he said, the reason I looked for her was because she just wouldn't start out just praying, quoting every scripture, doing it. She would simply go to God and find the presence of God. And he said, every time she found his presence, and in his presence, she found everything that was needed. She found all the wisdom. She found every answer. She found all the provision. She found anything that was necessary. Whatever was being sought after was found in his presence. Have you ever thought about this? So this really is about relationship with God. And we say that God is with us, that he actually lives in us. I used to refer to him being our holy guest. He is a guest with us. And God technically has to live with us. Now, I know that he's God, and I know that he can kind of not see things and not hear things and not. But when you think about hanging out with somebody, who do you like to hang out with? The enjoyable people. Yeah, I want to hang out with the people that are enjoying life. I don't want to hang out with the people that are worn out and stressed and tired and, you know, complaining and murmuring and telling me what's bad and what they don't have and blah, 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 blah. It's kind of like that it's like a cartoon. Sometimes I get with people and I'm in my head, I'm going blah, 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 blah. Don't be one of those. But God likes to hang out with the enjoyable people. He likes to hang out with people that want to enjoy him. And people that he can enjoy. I mean, God would rather really come like right up close to you and bend his ear when you're saying, thank you, Lord, life is wonderful. Thank you, God, I've been saved. Thank you, Lord, the blessings of God are my... Rather than, well, Lord, did you see what happened yesterday? I can't believe, Lord, that here I am again. This is happening. And he's like, he loves you. He loves you. He always loves you. But does he want to hang out with you? Seriously. And that's why I feel like, no, I'm just putting my understanding on it. Because I didn't, you know, the Lord just told me what he said about those two things attached. But I have a feeling that's why we'll experience or sense his presence better or more. It's because when we're in that place of enjoying life, enjoying God, it's easier for God to draw near to us and just fellowship with us and commune with us. And then the favor of God, I mean, come on. What the favor of God can do for your life. I mean, the favor of God makes people, places, things that are out of the ordinary, things that are beyond what's normal. And we can grow in favor. The Bible actually says, Pastor almost mentioned it this morning. It says that actually Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor. He grew in favor where? With God. Jesus grew in favor with God and with people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll just learn to enjoy God. We're gonna see it this year. We're going to have it. Sense his presence. Just sense it, man. Just like, man, God's right here with me. Wah! And craziness is going on. Your kid's having a tantrum on the floor. And you're like, what? really to know the Lord is to love him and enjoy him. Really, honestly, if we're not enjoying God, and that means enjoying this life with God, because again, God is with us, and this is what we're doing right now is we're doing life. We're not just doing right now sitting the concept of sitting up in heaven on a floating cloud, you know, just with God. That's not what we're doing. We're doing life. And so if we're doing life, we have to do life with God. That means we have to love God while we're doing life. And really, I say to love God is to know him, is to love him, and to love him is to enjoy him. If you're not enjoying life with God, then really it is true that you're not doing it right. You're not doing it right. You haven't tapped in yet. You're working out. You're working by the arm of your flesh. You're trying to strive and do. This is not a flesh life. This is not an of the soul. This is about a life that's inward from the heart with God. But to know him is to love him. You can't really know him and not love him. And you can't really know him and not enjoy him. Our relationship with the Lord is pictured through the covenant of marriage. You know that, right? That God said in creating marriage that he was going to show us the picture of covenant, God's relationship with the church and all that. And one secret, everybody get this, this is coming before the happy marriage. This is coming before the happy marriage. So you can say, I got it on the record. One secret of a good marriage is to enjoy each other. Because when you're married, there's going to be a lot of close proximity. There's going to be a lot of togetherness. Seriously. And there's a saying that says, absence makes the heart grow fonder. That's not in the Bible. I'm serious. This is how we buy into lies. Absence does not necessarily make the heart grow fonder. There have been many people that, you know, and they're still far apart. That has nothing to do with it. If you're married, you got to learn to enjoy each other all the time. Or else your marriage is going to be like, oh, it's going to be struggling. Why? Because husband and wife are supposed to love each other. I'm not talking about just the eros, you know, sensual love. I'm talking about as Christians, we have the love of God in us. And so we love God. We love each other by loving God in each other first. And so when we're thinking of our spouse, we're thinking God in them, and we're able to enjoy them because they're a creation of God. They're a new creature in Christ. We see them through the potential of who God has, what God's put in them. And so that's a little bit of a work because, you know, when you're married, there's some longevity. And you better learn real quick the scripture, you know, that every day you wake up in the newness of life. You got to learn a way to keep things new and some things fresh. But if you're really going to have a great marriage, you have to learn to enjoy each other. And so we're going to have to learn to enjoy God. If you're not at the place yet where you enjoy praying, then we need to help you. Because to pray with God and to meet with God and hear from God, and it's wonderful. It's just, I mean, you never get up thinking, wow, that was a waste of my time. Not if you're doing it right. You come up thinking, well, I just met with God. This is so wonderful. How I enjoy him. We need to learn to enjoy this relationship with God, us enjoying him. And I know that sounds silly. Everybody there would say, well, I enjoy God, but not really. Because one thing that I've noticed about enjoyment is that when you enjoy something, it makes you want it more. When you enjoy the word, you find yourself wanting the word more. When you enjoy the Holy Ghost, You learn to want the Holy Ghost more. When you learn to enjoy God through praying, you want to pray more. And so you can say that I'm enjoying God, but if you're not doing anything and really finding enjoyment in the relationship with God, it means we have some work to do. And that's why God just said this year, 2023, let's just, what did he say? Let's kind of put some effort, spend some time making sure we're doing good in the enjoy category. Enjoying God. We need to learn to enjoy him. He wants us to enjoy him. And he certainly enjoys us. The Bible says in James 4:5 in the Amplifies, it says, do you suppose that the scripture is speaking to no purpose that says the spirit whom he has caused to dwell in us yearns over us? He yearns over, God yearns to be with us. He yearns to talk with us, commune with us. He yearns to do life. He wants to be invited in because he likes us, because we're made in his image. I mean, God really likes us. He might not like something you're doing in a moment, but you, he loves you. He likes you. He wants to be with you. He enjoys you. Look what Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 says. The Lord your God is in your midst, the mighty one will say. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Hallelujah. Psalm 147 verses 10 and 11. The Lord does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. The Lord takes pleasure in you. The Lord delights in you. So we need to learn. This year we're going to need to spend some time focusing, learning, cultivating our enjoyment of God, our delight in him. Psalm 37, verse 3 and 4. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Come on, when you start seeing something and your negative eye wants to look on that and say some, oh, just remember the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. God is faithful to his word. God is faithful to be with me. God is already there. God is faithful. He's never going to let me fail. Praise God. I'm just going to praise God for his faithfulness. I'm going to praise God that I can count on him, that he never changes. Praise God. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. Then it goes on to say, delight yourself also in the Lord. This is part of our relationship with him. God doesn't want to be all the one, always after us, wanting to enjoy us, be with us, and then we're just like ignoring him. Or we're fussing. We're fussing at him about how things aren't right or what he hasn't done. If you're fussing to God about something that God hasn't done, let me just take a moment and correct us. There is never a moment that God has not done something. The first thing you ought to check is was it what you're asking or believing? Was it even according to his will? And then if it didn't happen or whatever, and it was according to his will, was your faith really attached? Were you hoping and wishing, or were you absolutely confident? Because I know this, that the Bible says that if we're praying with something that's in agreement with God's will, and that we really do believe that, that it shall come to pass. It will happen. God will make good on it. He is not a man that he can lie. If he has said it, he will do it. So we need to readjust ourselves. Our thing needs to come. We need to come to the Lord and just say, Lord, Lord, I need some help in this area, Lord. I know I'm not seeing this right. And so first of all, I'm just going to take a few moments and just delight in you. Just delight in your goodness. Just delight in your faithfulness. Just the fact that you're with me, for me, never against me. That you'd never leave me stranded. That you'd never leave me without. That you'd never say no to me. Every promise of God is yes and amen. And he says it with a smile on his face. Happy. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, then he shall give you the desires of your heart. Maybe you don't have some of your desires because you're all sour-faced and fussing about things all the time. Why don't you get happy? Why don't you get some gratefulness? Why don't you get some thankfulness? Let all of our prayers be made with thanksgiving. Amen. Why don't you stop being mad about having to have some patience? It's through faith and patience that we inherit the promise. I just want to cut that out. I just want to have some faith, and instantly it happens on my terms, in my timetable. Listen, many people are so unhappy in life because they're upset about timetables. I heard Brother Copeland say this week that faith opens the door, but patience is what keeps it open. You know, the door swings open, and sometimes we have to recognize the door. We have to take steps to get to the door. I mean, it's not just the door's open, and instantly we're on the other side. Oh, goodness. I don't know. We're just going to enjoy life. We're just going to have to cast off some things. Learn to enjoy our fellowship with Him. Learn to enjoy fellowship with people. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you one more scripture and a couple more comments, then we're going to close for today, but I have to finish Wednesday. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you have a few days to get yourself in some real good enjoyment. Turn with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 17. Now I'm going to read the first part of it. The first part is really not what I'm talking about today necessarily in that context. But I want to get to the end of the scripture. But I just, you know, anytime you are reading things about money, there are other ways to apply that. But it says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain things or riches. So what this is telling us, is this really ties back to the scripture that we saw in Isaiah. This was telling you to not be counting on putting your faith or your hope or your trust or looking to other things. Whether it be money, whether it be a job, whether it be a spouse, whether it be whatever you're looking to that you think is going to make it better. The only thing that makes it better is God. He is the only one. Or I'm looking to this promotion, or I'm looking to, if just this could happen for me, life would be good. Oh, you've already missed it. Okay, so it says don't be prideful. Don't be looking to yourself thinking you can do this. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to. He gives us all things to. God gives us all things to. Hallelujah. God wants us to enjoy this life and the things that He has given us in this life. He gives them to us. They come simply by our inheritance as now we are a son of God. He richly gives it. That means He gives it in liberal supply. Not just barely scraping by. Come on, we need to get off of the bottom of the barrel, folks. We're not called to live down here scraping down at the bottom. No, we're called to live in the overflow, off the top of the barrel, where it's just overflowing. God richly gives us all things we need. Need I remind you that everything that Christ is and Christ has, we already have. But He gives them to us to enjoy them. So there's some perspective. I'm going to talk about this Wednesday. Part of this is about attitude. But you know, your attitude affects your altitude. If you want to be in the high places, living in the high places, you're going to have the right attitude. But God wants us to enjoy. He gave us peace to enjoy it. He gave us wisdom to enjoy it. He gave us vision to enjoy it. Not to get it and then like, oh my gosh, this is so much work. How am I going to, you know, God gave me a task to do. God gave me a project to do. And now instantly we take on all of the negative of it, all of the work of it, all of the No, God gave us an assignment. That means if God gave you an assignment, He has richly given you everything that you need in liberal supply to get that assignment done. Stop looking at yourself. Stop leaning to your own strength. Stop leaning or looking to your own ability. Step into the Lord. Glory to God. Just enjoy what we have and let's do it. Let's use it. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, there's a call from God to enjoy life. Woo! I feel bigger. I feel happier. Come on, I feel brighter already, don't you? Just getting a little God's perspective. Come on, we're not buying into the devil's lies that the life is hard. The Bible says only the transgressor says that life is hard. She's running. She's just enjoying a good run. She's just enjoying a good run with God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's enjoy God. Come on, let's enjoy God. We're going to just rejoice and be glad. We're going to just rejoice and be happy. We're going to just rejoice and trust God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just make a decision. Let's make a decision. We're going to enjoy God. We're going to enjoy life. We're going to enjoy each other. Let's just make a decision. How do you do that? You just do that in your heart, and then and that's it. It's settled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, we love life. We love life. We love life. Life for us is good. It's good. Come on, He has crowned this year with His goodness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we're keeping the word. We're not going to get in our car and the devil's going to say, "You're all right." I see it as a challenge. Like that we can get better in this area, that we can get like sharper in this area. And then don't forget, oh, we got some promises attached. I don't know about you, but I'm walking in the favor of the Lord this year. Favorable things are coming my way. Come on. Good things, God-sized things are happening today. Come on. Because we're just enjoying God. We're enjoying all He's given us. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining Pastors Chaz and Joni today from Houston Faith Church. If you're looking for a good home church in Houston, Texas, we'd like to invite you to be our guest anytime. What you'll find is the Houston Faith Church is highly committed to the Word of God, the love of God, and the Spirit-filled life and ministry that Jesus expects. We know that everyone wants to make a difference in this life, and that the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main thing for all of us. You'll find your purpose here and grow strong in faith at Houston Faith Church. Find more faith-building resources on our YouTube channel or subscribe to our free audio podcast. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. See you soon.